Oh, yeah, here we go, everybody. Come on in. Time for church to start. It's good to have you. Find a seat. Find kids, find whom you belong to and sit with them. All right. It's good to have you tonight. Live streamers, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're at, it's good to have you. So come on in. Find a place for yourself and sit down, if you would, please. And we're going to get started in just a minute. So happy Wednesday. Yeah, happy Wednesday. We do have youth hangout tonight, so when worship is over, that's Eric and Justice, okay? And then, obviously, kids are dismissed for Kids Church when worship is done. So have those things happening. Margo, hurry up and come down here if you would. Okay. Can't start till Margo gets here. My goodness. All right, so come here. Tell them about Friday night. Friday night at 6:30. We got something for the ladies, right?
Yes.
Actually, there's a lot of people signed up. Yay! No. So, yeah, 6:30. I'm going to be really honest. I don't have a whole bunch of, like, set-in-stone plans. We're just going to play games and eat a lot of food and... I mean, right? That's all we need, really.
Yeah, so there will be a time for a fire pit outside, so bring your, like, whatever they call those chairs, and then people want to play games and come in and play games. There'll be food. That's 6:30 on Friday night, so be here for that. If you don't sign up or forgot to, it'll still come anyways. It'll be a good time. And bring food. Bring food. It needs to be... Yeah, I just wanted you to tell them about that. Bring good food. How about that?
Oh, yeah, good food.
He said, bring good food. Also, Joy Fellowship is this Sunday at 5 o'clock. I thought I saw Bill and Patsy. There's Patsy. Okay. Don't forget, Christmas shoeboxes are due November 17th, right? Yep. And then also, small groups are happening. The last month for small groups is November. Remember, we take our break from small groups in December and January, then back in February. But still time to get connected for this month to small groups. But there's another small group that's starting up that Tish and Vinny are overseeing. They're going to tell you a little more about it on Sunday, but go ahead and ask them about it. It's going to be a good time for the young ladies with that. So, having said that, everybody smile. There you go. That's all right. All right, stand up on your feet. Let's worship Jesus together tonight.
Thank you.
we would count on your strength when we feel so small and inadequate, Lord. That we know that you can still move mountains, Father. If we'd only hold our peace, the Lord will fight for us. He prepares a table in the midst of our enemies. Lord, you are good. We say, come, Father, come and have your way, Lord. Meet us in our weakness, God. We love you and we thank you for who you are and what you've done and what you are yet to do. In Jesus' name, the name above any other names that is higher than any other one. The only God that can speak back to us, the only one who can really change our lives, the one who holds every key to every lock. Thank you for choosing us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for coming. We're excited to have you. Kid and youth, you are dismissed. Go around and greet some of your family of faith this evening.
Everybody tonight, I know they're getting kids checked into kids' church and youth down for youth hangout. And while they are doing that, I got the flyer here from the Sycamore House Bowling Benefit. So there's flyers about this at the back table. That is Saturday, November 9th at 1 o'clock. And $30 a couple, $15 per individual, $60 per team. Now, we had our bowling night not long ago, remember? Based on what I saw, please don't form a team and put our church name on it. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I'm joking. You may do so. But if you have questions about that, you can see Mike or even Tori. And, or even Patsy, you know, they'll know what's going on with that. And there is a silent auction, raffles, and things like that. There's actually a QR code back on there for more information. So grab that stuff as you go and support Sycamore House. Yes, sir. You're going to sponsor a team? Are you only picking people that you know can bowl well? Okay, all right. Oh, my goodness. Good deal. Well, tithe and offering. If you have something to give, you can put that together. Envelopes are in the chairs in front of you. If not, ushers have one for you. They might have prayer cards also, maybe. So if you have a prayer need, please ask for a prayer card. And they get prayed over at Monday night prayer. And certainly we're standing with you in faith for the things that you're praying for. So your giving, I appreciate it. The church appreciates it, and God does more with it than we could imagine, I believe. And are you guys liking the new sound system, by the way?
Yes.
And it's good, so we're happy about that. That's because of your giving. But by the way, one thing with the sound system, I've been asked like 10 times, and then I know other people have been asked, where'd the cross go? We had to take it down because they had to install the speakers. it probably can't go back there because it blocks right down through the middle here. So we're going to try to find a place for it. Relax. We'll get to it when we get to it. Jesus is still with us, even though we don't have the wooden cross sitting up there. We're okay. We're going to find a spot for it, but just take it easy. All right? And never mind. I won't say what I was just thinking. We're working on it. I promise you. Things at a time. All right, let me pray. We can bring your giving down. If you wish. Lord, we thank you to be here tonight in the fellowship of the family of faith. And we worship you, Jesus, and we praise you tonight with all of who we are. And as we give tonight, we praise and honoring to you because of the increase in our lives. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are always in front of us with provision. And Lord, that you are the one who always makes a way. And we thank you that you're that good to us and that personal to us as we live this life. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. As a matter of fact, in the month of November, which is starting a week from this Sunday, I got the first Sunday in November, I've got something I want to talk about. But then the rest of November, we're going to do a series on Sunday called Generosity. So I'm looking forward to that. All right. So if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11, this is where we've been. My notes say this is our ninth week in Hebrews 11. I think we got a couple more weeks after this in it. And we've been talking about faith. Faith is a way of being. Faith starts with confession and it turns into a way of living. I live by
faith.
Yeah. And I live by faith because I believe and I trust. Faith is active belief. Faith is then trust. And because I believe and because I trust, then I live. And my life is based on the very words of God. My life is based on the fact that I believe he exists. And everything that comes with that. So we live by faith. So the author of the book of Hebrews has been pulling out stories from what we call our Old Testament of people who live by faith. They live by faith before the scriptures were. The guy that we're into right now is Moses. The law came, but that was only when Moses was an older guy. But they live simply by relational words from God. When God said, they did. When God directed, they went. When God said no, they didn't. And did all of it, as the writer of Hebrews is saying, they did it by faith. That they believed and they trusted, therefore their life was based on it. Right? So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23 is where we left off from last week. So, yeah, we were talking about Abraham for a little bit, and then we went down through the lineage from him, Isaac and Jacob, and then Joseph, as we were talking last week. Now it turns to Moses, what would be considered to the Jews. He is the guy, the prophet that we find in the Old Testament scriptures. It said, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful or had great purpose. And they, watch this, and they were not afraid, everybody say not afraid, of the king or Pharaoh's edict. Now, what in the world does that mean? What's it talking about? So let's go back to Exodus chapter 1. So as we've been doing, we've been reading these little snippets from the book of Hebrews and jumping back into the Old Testament and actually reading the story from where it was drawn from. So Exodus chapter 1, we're going to read all of chapter 1, look out, and into chapter 2, just kind of give you a backup to what the writer in Hebrews was mentioning there. So Exodus chapter 1, verse 1, and these are the names of the sons of Israel, Jacob, who came to Egypt with Jacob, each with his household. Now remember the story. Joseph One of Jacob's sons was sold into slavery by his brothers because they were jealous of him. He had the coat of many colors. He's having dreams of turning into something, and they just didn't like us. So they sold him into slavery, and through all this bits and pieces, he ends up in Egypt. Remember, ends up in house of Potiphar, then in prison, all these different, and somehow by the hand of God, he ends up second in command of Egypt, right? And a big famine came, and then Jacob, and through the stories of events, Jacob and the house of Israel end up in Egypt in the provision that was actually administrated by Joseph. So they're in Egypt, and this is the one who came there, the household of Jacob. Verse 2, Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Zebulun and Benjamin and Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. And all the descendants of Jacob, who were 70 persons, Joseph was already in Egypt. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers in that generation, but the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. So Jacob takes his family there to be saved from the famine. They stay there, and while they're there, they just begin to multiply, because the people of God are fruitful. Is that right? But as they were there, verse 8, there arose a new king, or a new Pharaoh over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. So come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and the more they spread abroad. Do you know that the more the Christian faith is oppressed, the more the Christian faith grows? You can't stamp it out. You go to nations where they are not allowed to hold church like us, they just go where you can't see them and have church. Is that right? And the gospel spreads, and some of the largest gatherings of believers in the world happen in places where it's really not open to do so. You see what I'm getting at? You're never going to stop the spreading of Jesus. I don't care what you do. So, and that's what they tried to do to Israel, and it didn't work. Let's see, where did I leave off there? Okay, let's just go to verse 13. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves, and made their lives bitter with hard service and mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. And in all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. So the king of, now watch this, then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, that's the daughters of Israel, one of whom was named Shapira and the other Puah. I hope I'm saying that right. When you serve as the midwife to the Hebrew women or the Israeli women, and you see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. You see that? Now, that immediately should bring to your mind another story. What's the story? The birth of Jesus. Remember, Herod set about killing the boys, two and under, or toddler and under, trying to root out this king that was to come. And now, what you know that Hebrews writes in other places that Jesus is the greater Moses. And see how their story would parallel in certain things, right? Okay, let's keep reading here. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and let the male children live? But the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. They're just fast. So God dealt well with the midwives.
and people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families, which would not have been of the norm. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. So there's a reconfirming, kill these boys. Chapter 2. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took his wife, as his wife, a Levite woman. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, the writer of Hebrews, the beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him any longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. And she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the bank. And the boy's sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And while her young women walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. And she took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then her sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother. And here's just an incredible God-ordained coincidence. The woman that was got was Moses' mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took him and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses because I drew him out of the water. And that's what Moses means. So the writer of Hebrews is counting that this happens because of faith. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and reread what we read at the beginning here. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. And it's there, it says again, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So, by faith, we see expressed by Moses' parents that although there was an edict that all Hebrew children, boys, were to be killed, by faith, they stood up into something that they believed was right in spite of the king's edict. And they did so, again, by faith. See, kind of a question here. When it comes to living the Christian life in this world, at times you're going to have to ask the question, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Shall I fear man? Should I fear the edicts of the land? Shall I fear circumstances of life? Shall I fear, it seems like, the mountains that pop up in my way? Shall I fear when life doesn't go the way I'd like it to go? Shall I live in fear? Now, here's the thing. It's not like, and again, this is sort of reading between the lines. I don't like to do that much. But it's not like I don't think that Moses' parents or his mother was worried at all. I would think they'd be worried. It says they hid him for 3 months. You wouldn't hide something, you weren't worried about it. When they couldn't hide him any longer, they made a floating basket and put it into the Nile among the reeds. I would be worried if I put my 3-month-old in a basket and put it in a river. It's not like there wouldn't be worry there. And then when they saw the basket being taken, of all people, of the court of Pharaoh's daughter, holy smokes, who know this edict, it's not like they don't know if the Hebrew boy should be killed. I think that would be a lot of heart racing moments when that baby was taken out of the river, right? It's not that we will never have moments of worry or at times some anxiousness or these kind of things. But ultimately, end of the day, we should not live continually in fear. Because faith in God will begin to deal with our fear of things in this life. Because faith in God, remember, I believe and I trust. And who is God? Well, he is who he is, right? And because I believe and I trust and I know that I am bound up in him, whom shall I fear? Psalm 27. Of whom shall I be afraid? That we as believers, that we don't live this life in fear. Now again, this is specifically talking about Pharaoh at this time period of world history is most likely the most powerful man in the entire known world. This isn't your local politician down the street here. This guy is the most powerful man in the known world with armies at his disposal. And he gave a law. And let me tell you something. In these days, you violate the law of the Pharaoh, there's probably not much of a court trial going on. It's pretty quick. This guy had power. You are to, listen to me, you are to fear this man. And by the way, in the stories of the Pharaohs, they were beginning to be seen as gods themselves. This probably wasn't just a man that they saw him as a god. This is the progression of the pharaohs, that they saw them as deity. So when they said something, you hop too, and you better do what he says. But here's Moses' parents. Obviously it says that he had a sister, we know, right? She was watching. Can you imagine being a pregnant woman, and in this day, wondering for 9 months or so what I'm going to have, knowing you got a 50-50 shot of them taking this baby from you and killing it. Talk about 9 months of worry and stress, right? And you didn't have a choice. They're going to take the baby. And then when it's born, the joy of the child being born, but it's a boy. Maybe before the birth, making plans. What are we going to do if? Are we going to let them have the baby? Or as they did, plan, this is how we're going to hide it if it is a boy. Whatever the process is they went through. But yet, when the child was born, there was something about the child. That is for every baby, but Hebrews pulls that out. It's something about the child. We are going to go with that God made this baby wonderful, as they all are. And we will live maybe in worry, maybe some anxiety, but we will live more to God than fear of the greatest, most powerful man in the known world at the time. If God be for me, whom shall I fear? And we do this by faith. You see. And we're drawn into this. That those who live by faith will ultimately not live in fear. They won't live in it and stay there. And it's the case of man around us. It's the case of the circumstances of life. But we will live by the words of the Lord, even if it's in contrast with the words of a man. We will live by the words of the Lord if they are in contrast to the circumstances of life. We will live by the words of the Lord if they seem to be almost absurd in the face of whatever we're facing. Because I have a reverent fear of my God that causes me not to really worry about other people. I have a reverent fear of my God that causes me not to live in prolonged fear and anxiety of situations that I face in life. Because this reverent fear I have of my God, I also know him as my Father, who is my good shepherd, who is going to take care of me. You see what I'm getting at? So, 1 Peter chapter 3, let's go there. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. Do not, everybody say, do not repay evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for this is you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. So whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now that section is a quote from Psalm 34. So, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But watch this, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. So, have no fear of them, nor be troubled. If you live in for Jesus in the sake of righteousness, and that causes you to be persecuted, have no fear and don't be troubled. You see that? But in your heart, always honor Christ the Lord as holy, and always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, you may be slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. And it goes on to talk about the suffering of Christ. You see that? Now watch this. You may suffer for righteousness' sake, but you still must have unity of mind. You may suffer for righteousness' sake, but you must still be in sympathy. You may suffer for righteousness' sake, but you must still live in brotherly love. You may suffer for righteousness' sake, but you must still have a tender heart, a humble mind. You may suffer for righteousness' sake, but you may not repay evil for evil. You may suffer for righteousness' sake, but you must bless where you are cursed. You know why you can be that way? Even if you suffer for righteousness' sake? Because you don't fear man in your life. See that? Nor is your heart troubled by the suffering you may face. Do because my faith is in him who's called me to live a certain way, which didn't promise me a bed of roses. It promised me a reward to come. So if I suffer for righteousness' sake in this life, and you may, that's okay, but don't ever be in fear or let your heart be troubled. That we must still live the Christian life as we're called to live. So in other words, if I don't fear, and we're putting aside circumstances, if I don't fear man, that means I will live with courage. If I don't fear man, I will not be ashamed of the gospel. You see? Now, that whole business of not repaying evil for evil and having courage and being bold and not being ashamed of the gospel is not a license to be a jerk. Because you must still, let's just go back, unity of mind, brotherly love, tender heart, humble mind, not repaying evil for evil. And even when you make a defense of the reason and hope that you have, Peter says, do it with gentleness and respect. And you do that with a good conscience. So that if they happen to slander you, it's slander, it's not true. You know how many times you have people that say things about believers and what they said was absolutely true? Probably because somewhere in that interaction there was a lack of gentleness and respect. Human beings are only like one step from acting like animals, you know that? My goodness. And all it takes is for you to give yourself permission to act that way. Or admire somebody that acts that way, so that sort of gives you permission in your heart to act the way they act, or it's contrary to the Christian faith. So don't confuse boldness with just being a jerk about it. I'm bold in my faith, but I hope I'm never in a way that turns somebody off because of me, not because of the gospel. If you come to church and I preach Jesus and that offends you, but if you come to church and I act a certain way and that offends you, then that's on me. You see, I'm getting at it. There's a difference there. But in that I will, listen to me, I will not fear man because I live by faith. I will not be ashamed of the gospel because I live by faith. You see? Psalm chapter 3. Jump back there real quick. And we'll just go to verse 1. I mean, this is David writing this when he, remember the story when he fled from Absalom, when Absalom tried to take the throne from him. And David says, oh Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Watch this. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Not man, but God is. And I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept, and I woke again, and the Lord sustained me. Now watch this. I will not be afraid of the many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Why? Because David trusted in God. You know what? David trusted in God. Okay, if Absalom's supposed to get the throne, he can have it. Because I trust my future with God. And I'm going to trust that the thousands of foes that are seeking me out and want to kill me, yeah, God's going to look out for me. And watch his prayer. Now he gets into a prayer right here. He's just like, this is called a precatory prayer. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek, and you break the teeth of the wicked. There you go, David. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and your blessing be on your people. And that verse 7, that's up to God whether or not he does that. And we know Absalom got his hair stuck in a tree and got killed. Right? Remember the story? Ride his horse. Imagine having that much hair getting stuck in a tree. God needs a haircut. Well, he got one on the other side, you know? But see, it is God who is my defender. It is God who is my deliverer. It is God who I turn to in the face of my persecution and suffering. It is the God who then is the lifter of my head. You know what that means, the lifter of my head? You ever see somebody when they look down and because they're just... You ever see somebody with their hearts downcast like that? I saw a video, basketball. I don't know what preceded it, but apparently the player missed an important shot, or he got burned on defense, and they scored some points, and he was walking back to the bench like this. And he was a taller dude. And this little point guard looking guy, here, Margaret, this is what he did. Can I use you for an illustration? So you're the guy who just made the mistake. Okay? And you're walking back to the bench with your head down. Now, you got to give me some space. Go over here. Okay, there you go. Go ahead. This little kid ran up to him. He went like this. Picked his head up and walked away. That's all he did. He said, quit. It's okay. Put your head down. I never get to tell her to do stuff like this. So this is nice because she can't tell me no right now. All he did was come over and pick the guy's head up and walked away. Thank you. You see what I'm getting at? The Lord is the lifter of my head. When I'm downcast, he's the lifter of my head. So why fear? Why be ashamed? Why worry? Why be anxious? Yeah, life's life. It happens. Promise, it's going to happen. Some point, somewhere, somehow. When you start to get your head down, start to get worried, start to get scared, start to live in fear, the Lord comes and picks your head up. And it lifts your soul up. Amen? Amen? So whom shall I fear? Nobody. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one. I will live in respect as an American citizen, every law of the land, even those I don't necessarily like, until they tell me I have to do something that's contrary to my faith. I will live the laws of the land as a respectful citizen until they say, you can't tell people about Jesus. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? I'll do it in a respectful way. Won't be a jerk about it. You see how I'm getting at? Whom shall I fear? No, nobody, because my faith is in God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, who's preparing a place for me where my reward is. So, okay, martyr my body. I'm not looking for it. I'm not running around saying, hey, somebody kill me for Jesus. I'm not looking for it. But yet those who are martyred for their faith, whom shall they fear? They kill the body, but can't take your soul. They can't take your eternity. They can't take your reward. Whom shall you really fear? Nobody. That's not arrogance. That's trust in God. God, I trust you. I trust your words are true. And I trust there's more than this life. I trust that I'm heading somewhere. I trust that there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. And the meek today will be the ones who inherit it. That's what Jesus said. Blessed are the meek, people there will inherit the earth. That's where I'm going. I just hope to do the right thing while I'm on the way. Amen? You see what I'm getting at? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Let's not be ashamed. Let's have courage. What God has said, he will stand by. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Now, Jesus, we believe. Our hope is in you. Our life is lived for you. Our words are bound up with your words, our actions by your edicts. And I pray as we live this life and the blessings on our life, Lord, and that we are called to live peaceably where it may be. But, Lord, where things come up that contradict our faith, we will not fear. We will not live afraid. But we'll live with the zeal of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, as we face things in life, we just jump into you in our todays and also our future. That you are the one who takes care of us and you are our provider. And you're the one that sets the course of all of our days into our eternity. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And I praise you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. All right, be blessed as you go. And we have somebody we want to pray for tonight. Linda, we want to pray for you. So come on down. Ladies, if you'll come down and help us pray for Linda before you head out. But have a wonderful night. Ladies, see you Friday night at 6:30. And we'll see the rest of y'all. Judas Guys Men Group Friday night, by the way. So guys, come out to Judas Group. Okay, you want details, ask him. Have a great rest of the week.